Yes, welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of The Jungle Show here in Auburn Daily. A tough one here today or tonight to talk about. We're here to talk about another Auburn loss. Four of the last five shows have now been on Auburn losses, so this is just getting a little tougher, but we will get through it. And we're here to talk about the good and bad from the loss against Alabama on Saturday. A score of 77-69. The Tigers lose and drop to 17-8 overall and 7-5 in SEC play, which ranks them a tie for fourth place in the SEC race. You're in a tie with Missouri and Kentucky, two teams that you still have remaining on your schedule. So there is a shot for Auburn here to still retain a double bye in the SEC tournament. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But let's talk about this Alabama game. Just like I mentioned, Alabama beats Auburn 77-69 in Neville Arena. Crazy, crazy environment. A big day in Auburn. College game day's there. It's one of the most electric atmospheres Neville Arena has probably ever seen, at least since the Kentucky game last year when the students camped out, for this game. But this one felt a little different, being your in-state rival in Alabama. But Auburn not able to close out the game, was ahead for almost 25 minutes of this basketball, of the 40-minute basketball game, but loses by 8. So to do that, to talk about this game, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, this one hurts a little more than some of the others just because who it is.
Yes, losing to West Alabama, Alabama hurts if we're playing tiddlywinks. We weren't. We were playing basketball in a, like you said, a packed out Neville Arena. Had been packed out the night before for the gymnastics meet that they won, beat LSU.
Yep.
Had been packed out for the game day, which I need to go on a little soapbox about game day. If you'll give me 5 minutes at the end of the show.
Okay.
And then was roaring as loud as I've heard it in a while. When Auburn was making a run in the first half, I thought, man, it is really, I cannot hear the announcers.
Yeah.
But it's a loss. A loss is a loss. And we've had several of them where we were in the games. We were in this game. We were in the game at Tennessee, had a chance to win.
A&M.
In the game at A&M, should have won.
Yep.
In the game against Alabama, probably the best team. They're ranked number one now. Probably the best team in the country. And had them on the ropes for a while. And couldn't finish it.
Yeah.
So, had a really just like you mentioned against Alabama.
Yeah, just like you mentioned, Auburn was in this game from the very start. Punched Alabama in the mouth to come right out the gate. Mm-hmm. And got that arena, just like you said, absolutely electric. And rocking and loud. Just like you mentioned, I couldn't hear the announcers either on the television. But not able to finish, not able to close, not able to secure the win in this game, no matter how well that they played. And we've seen improvement the last two games from Auburn, especially offensively. They've started to figure out some things on the offensive end. They're starting to shoot a little bit better, even from the outside. And in this game from the free throw line, Auburn shot 85% from the free throw line against Alabama. That's improvement. That's really, really good.
Really good.
But still not able to put it in the win column, which hurts. It really does hurt.
Well, so and right now, if we would have played like this against USC, Memphis,
Georgia, A&M the first
time. A&M the first time or the second time. We did kind of play like this against the A&M the second time. Our shot like this against Tennessee, it's a whole different team.
Yeah.
And I know we can't do that. I know that. And I know it's a loss, but we turned the ball over 11 times against a team that lives on turnovers.
Yep.
So I'll take 11 turnovers any day.
Yeah. So, and just like you mentioned, you can't change the fact that all those games that you just mentioned are losses, even though you didn't play as well as you've done in these past two games, where with the Texas A&M game, I truly believe the officials took over that game. And in this game, it just wasn't enough down the stretch for you to beat such a good team like Alabama.
Yeah.
So now looking at Auburn, 17-8, 7-5 in the SEC, does not have a true signature win, has some weird losses, but a lot of really, really close losses to a lot of quad one teams. You're one of six in quad one.
Two of six
in
quad one. Northwestern just went up to top 50 after
being
there.
You go. Okay,
that's a big win quad for one us. That's
a big one, especially them after being the number one team in the country at the time, Purdue. So now
you got two quad one wins.
You're tied for fourth in the SEC with Missouri and Kentucky, only behind Alabama, Tennessee, and Texas A&M. You have Kentucky and Missouri left on your schedule, Missouri being on Tuesday night. This stretch right here, the final six games and then the first game of the SEC tournament, especially big. No matter who you play, big, are going to be huge. And I think if you go 5-2 in these next seven or down the line, depending on who you play in the SEC tournament, if you can get – if you can minimize those losses to maybe a competitive loss at Alabama and maybe, I don't know, I would say Rupp Arena because I think we could beat Tennessee and Neville Arena if you play like you have been playing. I think you should have beat them at Knoxville. So yeah. I think we're a better team than Tennessee right now. But it's right now, Auburn's getting closer and closer to that bubble. And if you don't start winning – the NCAA tournament now becomes a question instead of where you're seated. It's, okay, are we in or are we not? So right now I would say Auburn is on the 8 or 9 line. I think if you win these next three games against very winnable games against Vandy, Missouri, and Ole Miss, you can push back into the 7 mark. You've got to pick up a signature win in the last three games of the season. Whether you go to Rupp and beat Kentucky there for the first time since 25 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Whether you go to Coleman Coliseum and avoid the sweep against Alabama.
I don't think
Or whether you get Tennessee, who's still ranked inside the top 10 after losing two games this week, you get Tennessee and you beat them on the last game of the season in Neville Arena, or you get a signature win in the SEC tournament, maybe go on a run. This team is playing well enough to win these games. And just like you mentioned just a minute ago, we talk about the losses. There are only two of those losses that I think we played really, really good games and just didn't win. The Texas A&M game and the Alabama game, the two most recent ones. You can't go back and change it. But right now, the outlook of this team is we're really, really playing well, but we can't finish the games down the stretch. You can't get wins. You've got to pick up the signature win. How can Auburn change and flip the script there, getting that signature win, securing their spot in the NCAA tournament, maybe making a run, whether that be in the SEC or NCAA tournament?
Okay, so Missouri is Tuesday night. They're the number one offensive efficiency team in the league. They can score. They put 87 or 86 on Tennessee in Thompson Bowling.
Yep.
I think we're better defensively. They don't rebound real well. You got to win that game. Bruce Pearl in his comments today was like challenging the students and the alumni to pack out Neville Arena. He called Missouri a must-win game, and he's right.
I think so, too. Yeah.
You have to win that game. Then you go to Nashville. I hate that arena more than anything. They're tough in that arena. It's a have-to win. You got to beat Vanderbilt. Ole Miss at home, I think we win. Then you play at Kentucky. I've seen nothing from Kentucky that makes me think we can't get that W, although I don't know that it's even a quad one win by the time we get there.
Yeah.
It probably is, because it'll be on the road, so it's top 75. They'll be in the top 75. And then I saw nothing that has told me that we can beat Alabama at Alabama. We don't shoot very well on the road. They shoot lights out in that gym. It's a nasty, horrible airline hangar gym. It's nasty. And then you come home and play Tennessee. So I think you've got to win Missouri and Ole Miss. And if you really need to get Vandy. And then one of those next three.
I agree.
If you don't get Vandy, you're going to have to win two of those next three plus plus your first game of the tournament, which would not be the double bye.
Nope.
So we talked about it. We talked about schedule gets harder. I think we're playing much better. So can we win all of them? We've got a team that can win all of them, maybe except for at Bama. I don't know that we can beat them there. I think Saturday was our chance to beat Alabama.
And you're playing well enough to win five of the next six.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. None of those teams are big bad dogs like Alabama was.
Nope.
Alabama ran two guys that are NBA lottery picks at you, plus a bunch of guys that can put the ball in the basket.
Yep.
And they kept bringing guys that could put the ball in the basket, and we don't have that. Yep. We have two or three that can put the ball in the basket consistently, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you need five wins.
Yeah, I like it.
And I agree. And you can get them by going 4-2 over the next little stretch, or maybe 3-3 and have to win two in the SEC tournament.
Get to the semifinals in the SEC tournament. Yeah. I can see it.
Can they do it? Are they still in the thing? Yeah. Absolutely. Lenardi's got them as an 8 or as a 9 seed. The last four games that we've lost, our net ranking has only gone down like a point. It doesn't drop because we're getting beat by really good teams.
And we're playing really, really well in those games. And that takes it into consideration, yeah, at least. So now let's talk more about this Alabama-Auburn game. We're going to break this up into three or four minute segments here. Let's talk about the good and let's talk about the bad, because there is a lot for each, in my opinion. So we'll start with the good. Let's start with the good news in this game, and we'll talk about the bad and kind of see what's next for Auburn.
Okay.
So with the good, we talked about it. The atmosphere, electric. College game day, one of two schools, the only other school being Duke, to have college game day come to your school the last three seasons. That is a testament to Bruce. That is a testament to this program. That is a testament to what he's done with this program. That is absolutely crazy. The atmosphere was great. The students camped out. That is a good thing.
Folks, that's Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
That's the Bruce Pearl effect. That would never have happened with Lebo or Barbie or Cliff Ellis. None of those guys could have put that together.
No.
Bruce Pearl has changed it so much that now you see Auburn Twitter going, what is wrong with this team? We're terrible. We're tied for fourth in the SEC with a team that probably shouldn't be that high.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, I agree. The atmosphere was fantastic.
So talking more about the game, some team stats to look at here. You out-rebounded one of the best rebounding teams in the country in Alabama. Yep. You had less turnovers than Alabama,
yep,
by a margin of three. You shot absolutely amazing from the free throw line. I mean,
yep,
out of two misses from Wendell Green and then one miss from Allen,
yeah,
and one miss from Jalen Williams, you shot 85% from the free throw line. That's really, really good. If you can consistently do that, you're going to start winning games and you're going to start being able to close games because you have that as an advantage now.
You remember earlier in the year, we were saying, God, if we could just shoot 70% from the free throw line,
yeah,
we'd be winning. We'd be really good. And we just shot 85% from the free throw line. Yeah. And it wasn't like we took six free throws. Mm-hmm. You shot 85% on what, 20, 25, 26. 26 free throws.
Yeah, that's really, really good.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Talking about some defense, and we'll talk about the offense because I think both of them played well enough to win this basketball game. The defense, the game plan that Bruce Pearl put on not only Brandon Miller for Alabama, but this Alabama basketball team in general, because this team lives and dies on the three. If, yep, you watch them dominate game, it's because they made 19 or 20 three-pointers.
Yep.
If you watch them lose games like they got blown out at, when they got blown out at Oklahoma, they just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn door. That's exactly what Bruce Pearl did. He said, I'm going to completely take away the three and make you beat us, but it's not going to be through Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller went 0 of 7 from three in this game. That's outstanding. He's the best freshman in the country, probably one of the best players. He'll be first team All American this year.
Yeah.
And you did that against him. You credit Alan Flanagan for that. Jalen Williams, even Zeb Jasper sometimes. Chris Moore played really well on him. Mm-hmm. But the game plan in general put together by Bruce to completely take away the three for Alabama was special. I mean, 1 of 5 for Neomarty Burnett. He's been playing great recently. Only 1 3-pointer attempted for Noah Clowney. That's really, really good. You held this tied team to 6 of 21 from three.
That's great.
That is a great thing. Unbelievable thing, not just for the playing, but for the game plan. That's something can win you basketball games.
And it also is going to be in effect Tuesday night. Missouri's not a big team. Missouri wants to jack three-pointers, and they want to get out fast and jack them. So you've already got the game plan together on how to beat a team that wants to do that. So same game plan defensively. Yep. Play the exact same defensively. Get up in them, make them go to the basket.
Yep.
And I thought the game plan was fantastic on the defensive end.
So talking about offensively, like Wendell played great, man. Wendell is playing his tail off. 20 points against Texas A&M, 24 points against Alabama. He buried 4 threes, had two assists and 3 rebounds. He's playing his best basketball at the right time of the year. He just needs help. He needs help. Wendell played great. I thought the first half, Jalen Williams played absolutely outstanding.
He was great.
The first half, he had 14 points and buried 3 threes. He was special on the offensive end in the second half. Only ended up with 16 points in the game because he only had 2 in the second half. He only attempted, let me get the 3 shots in the second half. A lot of that was due to the game plan of Nate Oates and Brandon.
Give him credit.
Changing his guard because they had Brandon Miller on him a lot in the first half. Brandon Miller was backing off of Jalen Williams, and Williams was burying 3. And
Williams was killing him.
They changed that to Noah Clowney after Noah Clowney got in foul trouble in the first half. When Clowney started guarding Williams, he was not getting those open looks anymore. So I don't think that was a bad thing on Auburn's end. I think that was a really good adjustment.
Good adjustment by Nate
in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing offensively, KD had 12 points. You've got to get something from the bench. But looking down at the bench, you just don't have a lot of true scorers. KD has got to be a scorer on the bench when we go away from Wendell, go away from Jalen, or sometimes go away from Chennai. You've got to have somebody off the bench to provide scoring. And KD had 12 points. He got to the line many times. He went 6 for 6 from the line. He also had 7 rebounds. That's good to see life out of KD Johnson.
KD has been fantastic the last 3 games. Tennessee – A&M, he wasn't super great, but he made an impact. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, he was really good at – look, he's given up on that dribble between my legs 2 or 3 times and jack a 3 as you're backing up. Mm-hmm. He's attacking the basket, and that's what he needs to do. We've been saying this for 2 years now. Attack the basket because he throws his chest into you and gets the ball up behind where you can't block it and usually gets fouled. And if he makes 6 of 6 free throws, even better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have no problems with what KD does. Let me just hit on when. PG1 is playing All-American type of basketball right now.
No doubt.
And a lot of people are on him on Twitter because of the last second shot at A&M or whatever. Guys, he's the best player on our team, significantly. A point guard that's 5'11", and he's averaging over 20 points a game the last few games. You just don't see that.
No.
You need to appreciate what PG1 is doing because he's put the team on his back for 2 straight games now, A&M and this one, and said, I'm going to try to get us over the line. I'm going to give everything I've got. He played 33 minutes the other night in a rough basketball game. His body can't – it's part of the reason we can't finish is because we can't take guys that are scoring off the floor because we don't have guys to put in that can score.
Yeah. And that's a good segue right into when we can talk about the bad. We don't have bench production, man. Alabama, the difference in this game, and there, I think there were two differences in Auburn winning and Alabama winning. That's my point of difference here. There were tons of different plays that could have gone different ways and that sort of thing. But the difference is when Alabama went away from Mark Sears, and Mark Sears had 15 points and 6 rebounds in this game. He's their star point guard. He's their transfer from Ohio, who played at Muscle Shoals. He's the guy. He's their point guard number one. Mm-hmm. When they went away from him, they went to Ryland Griffin. Ryland Griffin is another true freshman. He had 16 points, 2 rebounds, went 3 of 5 from 3, went 5 of 7 from the field. He led Alabama in scoring. He was the difference maker for them off the bench. With Wendell Green and Auburn, Wynn had 24, it was unbelievable. He's point guard number one. He's the one who's going to make the most impact. You go away from him, you go to Trey, 0 of 1 from the field, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 0 points. That's the difference. That's the difference in the game. That's the difference in this season. They can go to their bench and get that kind of production. And it's not just Riley Griffin off the bench. Neomarty Burnett's coming off the bench and playing really, really well. They have Nick Pringle, a big that's playing great. Noah Gurley is an experienced guy coming off the bench. He's really, really good. Javon Quinterly, I hate that dude, but he provides some whatever he provides.
Hey, Javon. You didn't beat us by 30.
But they can go to their bench and not lose any production at all.
We got 14
even though they have their great team. We got 14 points off of our bench. 12 of them were Katie Johnson. Just like I said, that was one of the goods. That we need that from Katie Johnson. We may need more.
Yeah.
2 points from Dylan Carwell off the crazy lob from Wendell Green. That's about what you're going to get from Dylan. You may get a few of those a game. But nothing from Berman, nothing from Chris Moore, nothing from Trey Donaldson. And that's not bad things on those players. All three of those players played their guts off, especially defensively. Chris Moore, Leroy Berman, considering the circumstances, and Trey and the minutes that he played were great. They played well. They just didn't put the ball on the basket. And that's the difference in the game.
Yeah, I agree. We have two freshmen on the team that are not contributing. Alabama has two or three freshmen on their team that are all contributing. One of them's going to be a first round draft, a top 10 draft, top 5 draft pick.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take anything away. I think Westry's going to be a good player, and he got hurt. It sucks. It is what it is. Treyor is just not there right now.
No.
He's just not there yet. And I think he's going to be a good player. And it stinks that we can't have him because I think Bruce was counting on those two guys coming off the bench this year and scoring the basketball. And he's not
along with KD.
Yeah. I mean, you team those two guys and KD and Trey Donaldson and Chris Moore
and Dylan.
You've got something really that that can at least not lose ball games. But if you can't put the ball in the basket, and for the final 6 minutes, we didn't put the ball in the basket.
Yeah. And you lose. That's another bad thing.
Yeah.
We can't close games all of a sudden. And that's started from the end of last year. You know, we saw with the Tennessee game last year, with the Arkansas game last year, and with the Florida game last year, all on the road, we just couldn't finish.
Yeah.
We saw games that we did. The Mississippi State game in overtime, that crazy game that we were both attended to.
Yeah.
You saw games that we could finish last year, and you've seen games where you could finish this year. Take the Florida game, the first SEC game, for example. You finished that ball game in the best way you possibly could have, even though that was kind of an ugly game. But these last four losses, you've all had chances to win. And you just couldn't close it down the stretch. And all of them are for different reasons, but you just can't get that win in the win column. You just can't get the plus in the win column. And that is a major, major struggle right now.
Yeah, and I think we'll build some confidence, beat a very good Missouri team. Go on the road, play well, come out with a W at Vanderbilt, beat crap out of Ole Miss, and then roll into Kentucky and see what you can do.
Yeah.
Develop some confidence. Develop
use this momentum to develop momentum. Confidence.
Yep. Yeah. We have to do that.
So the only other bad that I want to talk about, and we could talk about Alan Flanagan go of 1 of 9. We could talk about Zeb Jasper getting 0 points again. We could talk about a lot of bad things that, you know, could have helped Auburn ahead of this game. But looking at the two-pointers, we talked about in the good, how you ran Alabama off the three-point line, and that was absolutely fantastic.
Problem is they went in and dunked.
Problem is they went in and went 82% from two-pointers. And then Auburn, who shot the exact same percentage that Alabama shot from three and shot better from the free throw line, only went 34% on two-pointers. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is Janai. 3 of 11, that's not good.
Got to be better.
That's not good. Alan Flanagan, 1 of 9, that's not
good. Got to be better.
I mean, Wendell missed 12 or missed 7 two-pointers as well. Jalen didn't miss a two-pointer. KD missed 3 two-pointers. Chris, and Lior
all missed
the three-pointers. It's building up that these are problems because you had such a good game plan to stop and to beat Alabama,
mm-hmm.
and it just completely backfired because they just went in and dunked the ball, and then you couldn't do that because they weren't running you off the three-point line like we were to them.
They were guarding you.
Yeah.
We were running at them on the three, trying it seemed. There were some times when we were so focused on running them off the three, we literally ran at them. They drove right by us and dunked it.
Yeah.
And you can't – that's not – I don't think that's what Bruce Pearl means by running them off the three. He wants them to run them off the three but make them take a tough 12 to 15-foot jump shot. They don't shoot 80% if they shoot those. They were shooting layups and dunks. So –
we will go ahead and wrap this edition of the Jungle Show up. We'll be back to discuss the Missouri game later on this week and the future of this Auburn basketball team. Hopefully get a big win on Tuesday night. This is when y'all be listening to this. Hopefully pack out the jungle, pack that place out. That place needs to be ruckus just like it was on Saturday for this one because Bruce is right. This is a must-win game. But we'll go ahead and wrap this edition up. If you want to find the amazing stuff on Auburn Daily, just go to The Auburn Daily on Twitter or auburndaily.com. You're going to find either of us on Twitter at Gray Oldenburg or at War Eagle Hoops. We'll be back later on this week to discuss the Missouri game. Thank you all.
Get a dub. Eagle.